couple of good songs there to help you out. For sure. Good to see you back here tonight. Hope that you're feeling all right. And all the kids was supposed to go back to school tomorrow, except I talked to Landon, and Landon said he's off till Tuesday. So he said, "Preacher, just preach till midnight if you want to." So y'all can blame it on Landon. No, Landon didn't say that. Y'all don't get mad at Landon. You stay here. And don't fall off the balcony and break your neck. Approach the midnight hour. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm glad Brother Chase is doing better. He got sick as well. And he's back in. The 10 rolls of paper came in for the press. So we'll be making preparations here shortly. Still about fixing a day to print. We can get some stuff printed up and ready to roll out. We've still got some Chinese we got to finish up and work on. About half a pallet over there left of the Chinese. But be in prayer for our offering at the end of this month. Ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do for the ministry of the printing press that you've given us here at the church? What can I do to be a part of the printing ministry financially?" And that's what I'm asking you to pray about. "Lord, financially, what can I do and what can I give?" And on that day, the last Sunday of the month, Brother Sorensen will be preaching for us in the morning and afternoon. In the evening hour, we'll have dinner on the grounds here. And we'll take up an offering, and all the offerings that comes in that day that's not designated as tithes or missions will go to the printing press. So just start praying now. Don't put it off. You know, get a hold of God. Say, "God, what can I do? Let me know what I can do in my portion as a collective body of Lock Haven. It is our ministry, so we want to help support it the best we can." And the only answer I know to get is to ask the Lord what He wants, since it's His ministry, since I'm His. "Lord, how do you want me to give to your work?" And God's always given me the answer. He's always helped. And He's blessed over the years. He really has blessed since we started doing this when I got here. We have not lacked throughout the whole year. We was able to print. Even on some years, whenever the press just drove us crazy, we was able to print exactly what we needed, and the Lord provided in such a way. So that's how it works. So be in prayer about that. That'd be a blessing. One thing we do need to add to the church calendar is the men's prayer breakfast on the 26th of this month. Start eating about 8 o'clock. Some of the men get here about 5:36, start cleaning, cooking. If you just want to come drink a cup of coffee that early or stir some eggs, you're welcome to join them. Or just sit around and talk. They don't mind. Keep them awake so they don't let the grits get stuck. So they start about 5:36 o'clock, and then they have it ready for us at 8 o'clock in the morning. Then we have visitation after that. So add that to your church calendar. The 26th of this month, early in the morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Now, well, let me see. The other day I was looking around and fooling around looking at old cars. I like looking at old cars. Any 69 model truck, Chevrolet, Dodge. Somehow Daniel's stuck on Titans, but they don't have a 69 Titan. So he can't reflect back so far. But I like looking at any old. It doesn't matter, Dodge, Chevrolet. It really doesn't. Another vehicle I like. Yes, Brother Bill.
My Titan is close to 69.
It looks close that way. Yeah. I'm really 32, but this is what the ministry does to you. Another vehicle I like is the Jeep. The CJ7s. Y'all remember them? Soft top, 4x4. I like those. Brother Ethan, what kind of old car you like? Challenger? What year? 68 Challenger? That's a good one. 68 Challenger. Brother Hector, what kind of airplane do you like looking at? Since we got to get in everybody's ball field.
Old Falcon?
I'm just fooling with you. Brother Paul, what kind of old vehicle do you like?
63 Vet.
63 Vet. That's a good one, too. Y'all got some expensive taste around here. I'm talking a 69 Chevrolet. Brother Jimmy, what kind of old car you like?
71 Camaro.
71 Camaro, that's a good one, too. Sister Stephanie, you have no idea. As long as they get you to A and B, you're good. Some of you ladies, I know there's some ladies here. Yes, ma'am.
1960 Rolls Royce.
Wow. Brother, you got a lot of work. You better go back to Walmart. Yes, sir. '74 Steamer. Wow. Sister Price?
56 Chevy.
56 Chevy. Wow. Sister Barb, what's the first car you remember Brother David come picking you up in? Fairlane? Black Mercury. What kind was it, Brother David? You remember? '57 Chevy. Chucky, what kind of old car you like?
I got a Batman.
Your Batman? Better be the Batmobile, huh? I like that one, too. Somebody else got an old car they like? I'm getting somewhere with this, I promise you, I am. Brother Mike, I see you. Yeah, Benji saw one of them about 2 or 3 weeks ago over there at the car show. He liked them. The El Camino, that's a nice car. Yeah, Jared?
VW bus Corvette. No, VW bus camper, my bad.
VW bus camper. That's a good one. It is. Anyway, I was looking at those, and I like just to look a little bit here and there. Of course, if you get one that's fixed up, man, alive, what an investment. I mean, that thing's cost some money. They really do. My wife said if you ever want one, it's got to be around $100. So you know what kind I'd get. That thing would be nothing but holes all in it. Be a lot of fix-up. So anyway, I was thinking about it as I was looking at it, and I said, you know, I wonder what kind of car Jesus would drive. Brother Victor, what kind of car would you put Jesus in?
A Titan.
Daniel put him in a Titan. Manny, what kind of car you put Jesus in? A what? A limo. That's a good one. How about one of these new things that you got to plug up in? You think he'd want to ride around in them little green cars with a windmill on it? Wouldn't get too far, would he? I hope he's got chargers plugged up down the road. Fact of the matter is, we wouldn't know what kind of car Jesus drove. We do know that he rode in on an untamed donkey. The Bible does tell us that he's going to ride on a horse when he comes back. As far as what kind of car, the Bible doesn't give us anything about what kind of mode of transportation. He rode around on boats and stuff. But it does tell us how he walked. And it says something here in this verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So I couldn't get up here and say with a dogmatic, you know, amen shout, Jesus would ride around in a 69 Chevy truck. I couldn't say that. I really couldn't. He may, but I couldn't stand up here with absolute. But the Bible tells us that we're to walk like he walked, so there's got to be a way. And I'm not talking about like some, you know, strutting peacock walk. I'm not talking, you know, like a slow, what's the slow Jones walk? Y'all remember that guy that kind of slow walked around? I'm not talking about that kind of walk. I'm talking, there's something here that says, he that said he abideth in him, that means we're saved, we're born again, we abide in Christ, then ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So the only way I could figure it out was to go into Scripture and see some things and try to figure out how did Jesus walk. So go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Gospel of John. Which one of you young guys or young girls know what's happening in John chapter 4 before I ever read? What did Jesus do in John chapter 4? He was going somewhere. And it was a must. He had to get there. Going to Samaria. What? I'm giving you some hints now. You're smarter than fifth graders. Come on. He's going down to what? Talk to the woman at the well. Right? So, let's read. If the Bible says that we must walk as he walked, we got to figure out how he walked. And in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I believe you'll notice here that Jesus had a very caring walk about him. Look what it says in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The Bible says here that he must needs go through Samaria. Now, to be honest with you, this is not your normal route for the Jews to take. This isn't the route where let's plot it out. Matter of fact, you know, kind of in your GPS is where you can filter some things in, stay off of interstates, stay off of toll roads. I believe that there were some GPS systems back there in those days. Hook to the donkey, type it in, bypass Samaria as far as you can get away. Because it was not their normal route. This is not how they went. The Jews absolutely had no dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't want anything to do with them, didn't care nothing about them. And we see here that Jesus went out of his way. As he went out of his way, there was a purpose. He went there for a purpose. It wasn't just to go there to this well. It wasn't just to get over there in Samaria. It wasn't just to make the disciples think Jesus had kind of, you know, maybe he's a little weary. It wasn't to fool and trick with the, you know, trick the disciples up. It was to go and to meet a woman who had a great need and needed somebody to care for her. So as he walked in a manner that he was going to make it known that he is going to care for people. You remember when he's walking through the crowd and the press was upon him, and the woman with the issue of blood fought and pressed and touched him. Listen, dear friend, there have been many, many, many people touched him along that way. There was more than just the fact that she pressed with faith and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. It was the fact that that woman needed somebody to care for her. Jesus had a walk where he cared for those that he went. Now listen, look with me over in 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold your place there in John 4, because we're going to come back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the great love chapter, chapter of charity, as we would call it. 1 Corinthians 13, look in verse number 1. Let me say this, when people learn that we care for them, they see we're different. When people see that we care for them, and the Bible says here in 1 John in the book of charity, 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Wow. Have not charity. And they see that we're different. This woman noticed there was something different about this Jewish man that approached her. She understood there was something that was quite different about him. And listen, I don't know how to say it even clearer than this, but loving on others, especially those that are unlovable, opens up all kind of opportunities for you and for me. I mean, it opens up all kind of opportunities. Matter of fact, it kind of gives you an inroad with the heart of God, because Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. So when you go out of your way and you get opportunity and you bypass the norm and you meet people where they are, and you get to a point where it's a little bit uncomfortable, may I say it like that, for us. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit outside of... I'm not talking about getting outside of safety. I'm not talking about putting ourselves in harm's way. I'm talking about showing people that you love them. And the Bible's made very clear here in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. And listen, you can wax eloquent and strong with words of wisdom all you want. And have not charity. People know. Dear friend, I think Brother Davidson said this out of Oklahoma. He said, I believe I'm attributed to the right person. If not, I'm sorry. But unless people know how much you care, they care not how much you know. So Jesus walked with a care about him, loving people and trying to minister to those who, you know, listen. We can minister to those whom God places on our way. We just got to open up our eyes and say, Lord, let me see this path that you've led me down today as though I was looking out of your eyes. God, help me to walk daily caring for those that you put in my path and showing the love of Christ and showing that I care for them as a person, not as a number, not as a bragging right, not as another notch in my Christian belt. Well, I got to pass out another track. I got to lead another one to the Lord. Boy, and I got to, before long, it's all about I. And it's not about caring for the actual person. It's so that we can get some numbers that we can lay out to others, dear friend. But I'm going to be honest with you. Unless you open yourself up and touch this world the way it is, we're not going to make a difference. So Jesus walked about in a way in caring for those that he came in contact with. And it said there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we are, if we abide in him, we ought to walk as he walked. And how is your walk? Is it about others? Is it about showing others how much God loves them and cares for them, and that God is on their side? That they are important to God. They might not be important to society. They might be important to you. But I'll tell you something different. They're important to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish. And so he's not willing that any should perish. And so God cares for all. And that's how we need to be. We need to have a walk that is consistent with the care that the Savior had here on this earth. I mean, he was walking by the crowded place and down the road, and, you know, lepers cried out, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." It was enough that he had all these folks, and he stopped with concern and care for the lepers, even though none of them wouldn't even be thankful. He was crowded up in a house and gathered up a whole group, and he was preaching. People couldn't even get in. They were hanging in and out of windows. And there was four fellows that had a sick friend. And those friends wanted to get him to Jesus. They pressed. They could not. They went around. They could not. Climbed up, removed the shingles, lowered him down. And in the midst of all that, Jesus stopped in what he was doing to show care for this person. So Jesus walked with care. So if 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says we ought to walk as he walked, dear friend, we've got to come about with a walk of care. Now go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 7 through 15. So he had a walk of care. And then you'll notice that he had a walk of sharing. Verse 7. 2:15. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am I, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and would have, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up unto everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Give me to drink. Hey, listen, this was a conversation opener. What was going on here? The woman was coming around in the middle of the day and with a pitcher, had her, you know, I don't know if there was a rope tied there that was left for everybody to tie their little pitcher up. I don't know how that worked, but it was obvious there was no picture there because she makes reference to it. You don't have nothing even to drop in to draw with. So either she had the rope and the pail, or the pail and the rope was there, really way. But she was coming to get water. She was coming there for a purpose. And so Jesus took this opportunity, as he took this opportunity to start a conversation, he opened it up that as he began to speak, it would be something that they would both have in common, so that he could get to a point. And the point was sharing that I am the living water. So we have, and as people, as we walk caring for others, and we spend time, you know, in our day-to-day activities, and we're showing that we care for others, we need to look for opportunities that will open up the conversation that we might be able to share the Jesus that we know. And we've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So here's something that probably isn't going to help you out. Here, the Lord's moved upon us, and listen, he's given us the Great Commission. It is our job to share Jesus with this world. It's not the Great Omission, the Great Commission. So he's given us this responsibility, so we have to ask God, give us open doors that we may be able to speak boldly with opportunity. So you're at the car shop and you're getting your tires changed, right? And here's the mechanic, and he comes out to say, "Listen, The ball joints on your left one is a little bit worn, and we need to talk about, you know, maybe you should replace it or whether or not. And you know, as well as I do, the first thing comes to our mind, we're all skeptical. They're just drumming up more work, want to get more money, and before long we let our mind run off with us and we're not even there to converse with them. Whether or not the ball joints are gone or not, the conversation opener is not for you to begin to talk about something dealing with NASA over there. Unless this guy has a cup that has a rocket on it. You don't talk about something that's not common. Both of you are common. You're in a car shop, it's your car, he's the mechanic, he's working on your car. So you keep the engagement so you can communicate, so that the communication opens a door that you might have opportunity to share it with Jesus. Now, listen, if there is a NASA mug there and he's drinking his coffee out of it, wow, yes, go for it. But that's not the common thought of every mechanic. Brother Chris, where are you at? How often do you talk about rockets going to the moon with your workers up there?
Not too often.
Not too often. How about alternators?
All the time.
Oh, look at that. Ah. So you look for a conversation opener so that you can not just to open the conversation so that you can share. Where did Jesus leave this? He was thirsty. She was coming to get water. She must have been thirsty. She needed water. But he wanted to get her to understand that he was the living water. So the conversation opener is just an opener, but don't leave it just as an opener. Let it lead you right on in to the opportunity to share how good God has been toward you and for you. Speak of something that's common to both of you. In other words, meet people in their comfort zone. He's obviously a mechanic, so he would be comfortable talking about mechanics. And you know, you take opportunity to say, man, that ball joint is worn out there. That's kind of like my month was last month. The old devil rode me, wore me out. Jesus walked up beside me, and man, he strengthened me and gave me an opportunity to straighten things out. And he fixed things up right for my life. So he's come as something he wants to talk about. He knows, or she knows. Bringing the water into this, give me to drink. When Jesus knew, in fact, it was her that needed the drink. So walk, even as he walked about caring, he walked about sharing. And listen, this is an amazing thing. This woman had to come to draw water, so it was on her mind, and the water, being that Jesus was referring to the living water in verse 10, Jesus said, given thee living water. That was the whole purpose there. And listen, how long has it been? Just think about it just for a moment. How long has it been that we as individuals have had opportunity to talk to somebody about our good friend, Jesus Christ? Just think, I mean, I'm not abusing you, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but we as God's children, we have to walk even as he walked. I told you, I couldn't tell you if he would like to ride around in a 4x4 or a CJ7, maybe he won't ride around on a motorcycle. Maybe Jesus was a motorcycle guy, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say ride as he rode. Because I don't see no hitches out there with donkeys hooked up. Don't see no pale horses out front. So we ain't following that. It did say, walk as he walked. That's how we ought to do it. And we see here, so we got the example. He walked in a fashion with care and concern. He went out of his way. There was somewhere else he could have got some water, dear friend. There it was. Well, how do you know? Because he sent his disciples somewhere else to buy food. You think they just had a Walmart over there with no well? When they put a city, dear friend, it was because there was some water nearby. It was the necessity of life. But Jesus had a purpose, and this purpose was this lady. It was there. So he walked about in care on purpose, trying to find somebody that he could share living water with. Look back over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 16. So, walk even as he walked. So we're trying to figure out how did he walk. John chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus said unto him, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in these mountains, in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship in the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So we saw Jesus walking in a caring manner, making sure that he was going to places that he could care for people's true needs. Secondly, he was there sharing with every opportunity that came about that he was the living water. And thirdly, Jesus walked about with a need or a want or a desire to bear others' burdens. And that's where we got to get at. He said, go call thy husband. Jesus, listen, when he said that, dear friend, he reached down to where this woman had a deep burden, a deep hurt. He wanted to carry that burden. He wanted to help her out. And he called. He said, go call your husband. He got to the point that he could help her up and prop her up and to be a good friend to her and to be a help. Not to look at her with disdain. Not to look at her with oh, how awful thou is. Matter of fact, you look at the tenderness as he dealt with this woman here. He says, the woman answered, said, I have no husband. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. Look at the tenderness as he dealt with her in the burden that she was walking around in the difficult hour. And she thought to herself, I can imagine in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, as she walked out there, this was not the normal time to draw water, dear friend. She was there because she carried a deep burden. A burden that was looked upon. A burden that was scalded at. A burden that was, scoffed at. A woman here that had a husband and that one didn't work out. Another husband, that didn't work. Another husband, that didn't work out. Now just living up and shacking together. And yet Jesus approached her with tenderness and kindness and with softness as he reached into her life where she was at so that he could help carry that burden. I can only imagine that this woman probably thought, because of all the scoffing and the mocking and the things of the religious sector that had made toward her and looked at her in disgust at her life, that she felt like grace was not enough. That grace would never reach down to where she was at. I can only imagine that as she carried that burden out there in the heat of the day, away from society, not having any friends or anybody to help her, or not anybody to even protect her. I mean, could you imagine thieves and robbers and things of that nature that would come out during the day and take advantage of her? But yet Jesus wanted to reach into her life and wanted to help carry that burden. What I do notice here is what's amazing. If you look in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in the mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. What is she trying to do? A religious argument. She's coming back with a religious argument now. How many of us right here, we get hung up in that religious argument? Jesus avoided that religious argument. Listen, right now ain't the time to straighten this woman out about marriage. Right now ain't the time to straighten her out that she isn't part of the true worshipers. I mean, he avoided it. Listen, may I say this? God is interested in holy people, not holy places. And we get all of it, you know. That holy mountain. She wanted to steer it to an argument. Do you understand that people that are hurting will say hurtful things? People that are hurt, you gotta avoid that. You gotta stay away from that. Handle it. Jesus did not just don't worry about it. He talked with her there, but he didn't get into no argument with her. And when it was all said and done, she said, there is somebody that said something in the past that the Messiah was going to come. And I think, you are him. Verse 20, Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. She already thought that because of the tenderness and the loving and the kindness up there, she already perceived that he was a man of God. She said, thou art a prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet up there, early as we read it through those verses. But down here, she's now convinced that she has met the Messiah because of the way Jesus dealt with her. The ground, listen, Brother James, the ground is level for all of us at the feet of the cross. Not one of us stand up any higher than the other. We can't stand up before God and say, God, look at what I have to offer. I've not done this, I've not done that, I've not done this, I've not done that. You know, we sound like the rich young ruler. From my youth up, have I done all that? It's okay. You got this little bit idol. It's called your things. Go sell all your stuff. Follow me. And the Bible said he went away. Sad. Went away. Went away, troubled. Because listen, 1 John 2:6, walk even as I walk. I'm not sure that the Lord would take an Uber with you. But I am promising this, that in John 4, he was carrying, he was sharing, and he carried the burdens of those that were around him hurting. And if we're to walk like him in 2019, we're going to have to care about people. Unless you hadn't figured it out or not, you are a person. And God cared for you through somebody else. Listen, I know that there's probably been other people that's been hurtful and harmful and not done you right. God loves you, and he cared for you. And as he cared for you, we need to care for others. Take the opportunity to open doors to share Christ with them. And when we can, we need to help carry their burdens. We need to help carry it. That means when somebody brings their burden to us, Brother Ethan, when somebody brings their burden, something that they're struggling with, something they hurt with, carrying their burden isn't broadcasting. That's putting it in your backpack, sealing up your backpack, and walking and carrying it for them in prayer. That's carrying the burden. Helping them. Be accountable. Watching over them. Help steer them. Not destroying them. Not shaming them. It would do all of us good in 2019. It really would. Do all of us good to study the topic of church discipline. Church discipline is a biblical thing, but the end goal of church discipline is restoration. It's to restore them back to where they were at. Really is. It would do us all good. As an individual study, I would challenge you to take the Bible, look through it, and get the information from the Word of God. And say, it's a biblical thing. I know this day and age which we live in, we kind of twisted and turned and hooked and twisted Scripture. It's a biblical thing. It is. But it has a purpose, a godly purpose, by the way. It really does. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me encourage you to walk as God walked. As the Lord walked upon this earth, let me encourage you to walk in such a fashion. What page, Brother Jim?